joint meeting in the third term, but today we'll focus on Bloemfontein, maybe the DPCI issues and other transversal issues in the first hour. I want to finalize that matter before 10 o'clock, and then we will go immediately to SAPS, and then after that to the Civilian Secretariat. Now, members, there's a couple of changes to the program due to various reasons, and I just want to go over that. We will also communicate that with you in the next few days. Next week, we will have SIRA, and we also have the joint meeting with higher education, maybe just to indicate to SAPS that we will have to have somebody from SAPS also present at that meeting. We're going to look at public order policing and how the protest at the university level was handled. That's going to be in the afternoon, but we will also provide SAPS with details. The IPED meeting won't go ahead because the dilemma is the executive director is not available, and we feel it's important that the accounting officer should be available when the third and fourth term quarterlies are being dealt with, so we will deal with that when we come back in July. And then Wednesday the 21st, the meeting with finance is not going ahead because Treasury is apparently not available. So I had a letter on Sunday evening from the Chair of Finance to indicate that that meeting on the illicit flows won't be able to take place, so that will move to August. But what we will definitely go ahead with the DVA, and I just maybe want to highlight again to the departments, also to SAPS, the DVA reports. Now, in terms of SAPS, the last DVA report tabled by SAPS as required by Section 18.5D of the DVA Act was on 19 February 2016 for the period 2014 to March 2015. So there's a lot of reports from SAPS that's still outstanding. I don't know whether they were the ministry and must be signed off or tabled, but it's critical that, you know, those reports are being dealt with. Of course, the Secretariat will also have to deliver their reports, and we will also have next week, Wednesday, also civil society present, because it's very important. It's very topical. I think also the Minister of Police made various input regarding the debate, and I think Honourable Mabele and other speakers as well, the importance and the role of SAPS in dealing with the DVA, so we need those reports to be tabled and dealt with. Then, members, the oversight visit to KZN in the last week. Due to various logistical and other reasons, we're going to also postpone that to the first week when we come back in July. So we might have a meeting in that week on the Tuesday, but we will deal with that at Manco. So just a few changes I want to bring under the attention of the members. I'm going to ask the members to introduce themselves, and then we're going to ask SAPS as well as Public Works. Let's start, Honourable Molebatsi.
Goeiemôre, dames en here. My name is Angie Molebatsi. Ek is a lid van hierdie komitee. Baie dankie.
Morning. My name is Pindile Mola, a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Macharono Kwamba Mabeja, one member of our committee. Ndolebo.
Muloni, the Mulena Tramatlakani member of the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Zakele Mbele, member of the committee.
Thank you, Honourable Members. I'll then ask General Mutiba, Acting National Commissioner, to introduce his team, and then we'll ask the Deputy DG of Public Works as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Our team this morning consists of Lieutenant General Skete, our Deputy National Commissioner for Legal and Asset Management, our CFO, General Ramikosi. If you can just stand up so that the Chairperson and Committee can see you. General Mukwena, our Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain Management. General Nelson, the Component Head, Financial Management, Budget, Expenditure and Accounting Services. General Ravi, Strategic Management, and Colonel Stein, who is our Liaison Officer. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you to the Acting National Commissioner, Deputy DG of Public Works. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Paul Suruta. I'm Head of Property Management Trading Entity. I'm accompanied by the Head of Real Estate Management Services, Mandla Stolle, and our Director in Key Account Management or User Demand Management is Churchill Buna. Thanks.
Thank you, you very much. And Honorable Marke joined us, and I also want to thank Mr. Dixon McConnell, PLO, who also assisted with getting this meeting together. Thank you very much for his kind assistance. Members will remember that in our last meeting, we got a briefing from SAPS with regard to the Bloemfontein office. Of course, there's also the outstanding feedback we need from Public Works with regard to the task team with SAPS with regarding to the DPCI offices. So I presume we will also get feedback. But the broader issue, the broader policy issue, in terms of the main department and the customer department, is an issue that we will have to deal with in the third term. How can we, going forward, ensure that there is better coordination? I mean, there's a lot of projects being indicated in the MTF, 62 police stations. Is that viable? What can be done that SAPS can be more proactive? So I think that's a broader debate. We're not going to go into that today in much detail, but I think the Bloemfontein office, the DPCI, SAPS issues, and how the matter can be dealt with. I think that the concern, again, from the committee side is it's a matter that's been there for 2 years with regard to Bloemfontein VIP unit. There's been various bits in the beginning of 2016, but it doesn't seem there's movement. Also, the alternative projects or alternatives is not really bearing fruit, so from the committee side, we need feedback from Public Works on that. So without further ado, I'm going to ask the DDG to present his presentation. Thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We were requested to provide feedback with respect to the facility in Bloemfontein. We have been hard at work with the colleagues. And I'll give some feedback in terms of some of the work that we have done. Perhaps it would be appropriate to start at a point to say that the current situation in terms of the amount of time that has lapsed since the process started is really not acceptable, and we acknowledge and we have acknowledged to the colleagues that in SAPS that we have caused them a lot of frustration as far as this process is concerned, and I think from our perspective it is a good example of why we required the reforms that we spent over 12 months working on last year is to precisely deal with these matters. And I think first and foremostly it's a combination of things. The first one is we do accept that there are some people issues in terms of capacity and the manner in which they approach the procurement process when it comes to the procurement of office accommodation. And with that, we have dealt with it in terms of a specific capacity building program, because these are people that were in the first instance never trained to be property managers. We have got a structured program that we have got in place. We have got a training program that will deal with, in the first phase, 400 employees across the organization as part of the turnaround program that we have so much spoken about when it comes to the capacity building aspect. The next two points, I think, really for us deal with the need for us to have relooked at the procurement process. And that is the work that I also alluded to when I was last year, to say that we have spent a lot of time and effort firstly engaging with the sector, because there are some peculiarities in the manner in which procurement ought to be approached when it comes to the procurement of leased accommodation. The more specialized the accommodation becomes, particularly in this instance, the more scarce the type of accommodation stock is available in the market. And I will explain that, which requires a specific response. And it's the point that SAPS has also been making, to say that you cannot every time go out on the same bidding process and expect a different outcome. And therein lies the procurement reforms that we have been working with Treasury. And what we have agreed is we agreed a long time ago that there is a need for a new standard on lease procurement. We have worked with Treasury in the development of that. We were hoping that they would finalize that in time for April this year, but it is currently being finalized. It's been through a consultation with the provinces as well, and we believe that as soon as that process is finalized, it provides a framework, it provides standardization, and it puts us in a situation where the process is so standardized that we are less reliant on deviations, which is what we are currently having to do as far as this process is concerned. We went ahead in any event and said we would overhaul the entire business process of procurement, and in reality we've got 2,500 leases that we procure, the value of which in totality is in the region of 4 billion. So last year we after a number of roadshows engaged with the sector, we went out on an open process calling for a response to participate on a panel. We created the systems, we built the systems in-house, and we said we are inviting the sector to register all their buildings with us in one portal, and that tender went out in November. We closed in February, and we have been evaluating. We finalized that in May, and it's currently in implementation. So that is the new approach. That's the new way of doing things. And I think I touched on it the last time, again, that I was here. So in essence, the difference becomes, instead of going out for each and every specific requirement, we will only be advertising to those that have listed their properties with us. We give them the ability to update their vacancy profile every single month. That is the systems development that we have done. And what it will do for us is effectively be able to marry the user requirements on an ongoing basis against the profile of what is available. It is absolutely critical and it's absolutely relevant to the situation that we are faced with. And to give you a very live example, which is the reason that we are here, is that if you look at the requirements for PSS in Bloemfontein, it's just over 2,200 square meters that is required, with about 48, I think, parking bays that are required. Now, there are not many buildings that you will go out, particularly in an old city like that, that are built with that level of configuration. It's a very specific requirement. Once you start delving into the detail of what the colleagues were looking for, even the current building, in essence, would never meet the requirements that they are looking at. The types of vehicles that the colleagues in Bloemfontein are looking for are very specific. So we went again on a site visit, again in the last week, when we were preparing for our engagement with Treasury, which we were having this week. And we again assessed what is available relative to this requirement in relation to the bids that we had also taken out in the past. And it became clear to us what the essence of the problem was. And what we are finding is that the two or three buildings, in addition to the one that we have recommended as part of this process, just on the parking issue is very difficult because it's in a built-up area, most of the buildings. A lot of the buildings just simply do not meet the minimum requirements. The long and short of it is we have looked at it. We have committed the following in terms of the current process. First and foremost, we have prepared an entire assessment, not only of of the building profile in Bloemfontein to support the submission that we have made now to deviate, you know, in this process. But what we have also done is we have identified the specific building that would be able to meet these requirements. It's a little bit bigger than the specific requirements, but what normally happens in those instances is that we simply just occupy what we require, and we need to then engage with the landlord how we deal with the vacancy. But in this instance, we would not pay for the additional 200-300 square meters that are there, because buildings are generally, as I said, not built to a particular preempted specification. But this building that we have looked at is the best fit. In terms of the process, we then said to the colleagues that the deviation process, including the process of treasure and finalizing the lease agreement in this new building, should not take us beyond the month of June. Now, how we get to that is that we have said we will, including the site visit which happened last week, we would ensure that the submission is submitted with Treasury last week Friday, which we have done. We have been in constant communication. Treasury has asked a couple of questions, have requested further documents yesterday. We have checked with them again this morning, and we will get a response tomorrow at the latest. So that would mean 15th of June we'd get a response from them. We then start implementing. Implementation means that we get into a process of negotiation with the landlord, which will then be during the week of the 19th to the 23rd of June, which is next week. Once we have agreed on the terms, now part of it is to make sure that we do not get into a situation where we are paying more than we ought to be paying relative to the market in the Bloemfontein area, for instance. Making sure that there is an understanding of the pressure to implement on the tenant installations, and those are the types of negotiations that we'll be engaging in, and the costs thereof. That will be during the course of next week. We expect to finalize the lease latest 30th of June. Now, in general, once we've got the lease agreement, with these types of specialized requirements, we need about 3 months for the landlord to fully kit out the facility. It may be a shorter period of time, and the reason why it may be a shorter period of time is because the building is vacant. It is freshly upgraded, so it is currently not being used by someone else. So there is not an undoing and then a redoing. So the benefit may be that it may be installed a bit quicker than that. But from a project planning perspective, those would be the timelines until we reach full implementation as far as this property is concerned. I'll be guided as to the level of more detail you'd require.
Thank you, DDG. I think we welcome the report. There is indeed progress. Indeed, the timelines is looking very promising, but let's give the members an opportunity for further questions. Honourable Ramatlakane, Honourable Mbele, then Honourable Mulabatsi, Honourable Mula.
No, thank you, Chair, and thanks to the officials, the presentation of this process. The question I really have, I understand the explanation on a number of other issues in restructuring, relooking, asking tenders, creating portal. But this building, we have raised a problem 2 years ago. To be precise, I think it was 15th of September 2015, there around, when we raised the problem and the suitability of the building. Why is it taking Public Works, and there have been a number of complaints from Free State to Public Works about the building itself? why does it take you 2 years to solve the problem of the building? Surely when you enter into a lease, there are responsibilities with the landlord in terms of what he needs to do, keeping his site. And if he doesn't do that, obviously the lease becomes defective. Contract that you sign gives each party responsibility. Why is it that it takes you 2 years? And in that 2 years, when you go back on tender, you reissue the same building, you grant the same building for which we've complained, another tender. In other words, you approve the same tender on the same building where there has been numerous complaints. Thirdly, you are the user department gives you a specification. This is what we require, and this is what you need to go and look out in the market for. Why do you disregard the specification of SEPs in particular when it comes to this issue? The Free State building, in the first instance, when you entered into that particular lease, was not in compliance with what you were looking at as a specification of SEPs. Why do you do that? You say to them, they say, this is in terms of, say, security, risk management, this is what you need to comply with. And you say to them, irrespective whether you want this or that, we will give you what we want to give you. What rights do you have to do that? And just speaking straight, what gives you the right? Because the fact that you are a custodian of property gives you the right to say to a sister department, whether you like it or not, this is what we're giving you. Accept it. And on top of that, find it difficult to find a building, but later you're finding the building that may be suitable because we're insisting that those VIP members should be out of that building. Who's the owner of this building, by the way? This building that has been talk of town for the last 2 years. Do you know? As Public Works. Some name was being mentioned as when we asked last week, who is the Public Works person dealing with it? Do you know the owner of this building? Is there any other reason that you know that you may want to disclose here that makes you reluctant for the last 2 years, reluctant to move such members of that out of that building? I think it will be useful that we get all this facts, because let me say DDG, we're beginning to be fairly suspicious. The Free State building become quite a suspect on how the dealing and the going backwards and forward has been taking place, and we've been very patient with this. So we become more suspect about that. What is behind this building? Have you done your bit of a search to find out who's who in the zoo in this building? Who is in terms? Because I can tell you that it's not difficult to do. It's not difficult to check. It's not difficult. But you should be able to tell us what is the behind this building. Because we unless there are interest conflict of interests that are in the middle of this building, if this one is one example that you can go about, then you will find this kind of footwork, reluctancy, disregarding the direction that it has to be this way. I mean, if you refuse to implement the resolution of Parliament, what else should we make of this? Because this report was adopted and it was submitted to you duly in September 2015, we ask self the same questions. Are you up to the task to solving this problem? And this is the only Free State we are talking about. There are many others that we have not even started talking about. So, Chair, I want to cut to chase because I know the other things are there. I want to cut to chase. Let's just really speak straight about this. And maybe we'll hear what the DDG responds on this. Because I suppose you are the one who signed the last letter of awarding. So why are you persistent of this building? What is the reason for that? Thank you.
Honourable Bailey.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered by Honourable Ramatlakane in terms of the query on why it took so long to get to where we are now, and specifically around why Public Works had initially finalized a contract that was not compliant with the user specs. Surely that's the main consideration, because you need the form to suit the function, and if it can't fulfill the function, then there's a logic problem around having pursued or finalized that process in that way in the first place. But I just have three questions for this round. My first is a concern around a point the DDG made in his opening remarks about the fact that there have been capacity shortcomings within the department, which were revealed in the handling of this whole project. She said that the people who were handling the leasing processes were not trained for property management. Now, that's a fundamental issue, that you haven't got fit-for-purpose people to do the job properly. So my question in that regard is, how were these officials appointed and installed in the first place in those positions if they've now been found to have been unqualified and not fit for purpose? This is really, it's a fundamental human resource management, personnel management issue, because the entire point of Public Works is people managing business processes and massive state resources. And if they can't do the job, then we're squandering state resources. My second question relates to the point he then made about how the business process workflow is being redesigned in order to standardize it, was the word he used, and the intention that the standardization will address these challenges and prevent similar problems in future. Chair, I believe this is going to exacerbate the problem. If I can explain it this way, we know that this is not an isolated problem. The VIP building in Bloemfontein is just one small sample of a much larger systemic issue. We've come across challenges with INSAPs relating to the border environment, when it comes to Public Works being an obstacle or a bottleneck. In several of my individual oversights, you hear from station management about how either issues with upgrading or repairing detention cells or various bits of facilities are being held up by Public Works delays, or the fact that they were installed incorrectly in the first place. And there are drainage issues when it rains and all kinds of issues. And so parking base flood, all kinds of things that make the working environment very hard for station officers. And so my question is whether is the need not for decentralization of the business flow processes so that you have teams who build up local knowledge of their markets, what's available, what's possible, what the constraints are, so you can then contextualize that procurement. Because, I mean, it's as we heard from the DDG, they only came to grips with what's available in the Bloemfontein markets after a site visit 2 years down the line, whereas a decentralized approach would have built up the local knowledge of what the Bloemfontein property markets has available by now, or by 2 years ago, so that when the user specs come through, there can be an initial discussion with the client to say, based on what we know, these user specs are going to be difficult for this reason, therefore can we negotiate to meet in the middle, and not have this two-year issue that we've had now. So is the standardization, the centralized approach, the smartest way to address these systemic challenges? And is the solution not to go with decentralization, so you have local knowledge and therefore contextualized procurement that satisfies both the clients and what's available in those local markets? And then my final question, Chair, is I'm very curious and suspicious about how we now have almost miraculously found this compliance building. Given that we know that at least two rounds of public adverts did not yield the required building, so it didn't work for two rounds. Now we found the building. Can I just get a deeper, more detailed answer from the DDG and his team as to precisely how we've now been able to arrive at a solution 2 years down the line and after two rounds of, again, the standard process, to echo back my concern about standardization, and the fact that there was not the local knowledge, there was not the contextualized approach. How is it that now we've been able to find in the woodwork this building that now satisfies all the specs, and what was really the constraints previously in order to arrive at this point? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Molobatsi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Sorute, in your first paragraph, you spoke of being hard at work. And seated here, I am convinced that you were not hard at work. You were hard at work with something else, not with what you were supposed to be doing. My other point here is it a coincidence that suddenly you have time frames of saying this will happen in a week's time, this will happen on the 15th, this will happen at the end of June, is it just because you are coming to the portfolio, or you are trying to impress us or confuse us? My other question is now on a direct, more direct one. Tell us who is benefiting from this building that is not done away with. Tell us who is really benefiting from it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Broken last week
and today. My second question, what was the requirements of PSS Bloemfontein, and why was it difficult for you to find a building? My third question, you said Treasury asked document yesterday. Why yesterday? Was it because you are coming to the portfolio or what? My fourth question, you said that the lease will be finalized in 30th June. Are you sure? Is that going to be finalized? Because 2 years, we complained about this building 2 years, 2015, and now it's not done. My last question, you spoke of capacity. How can you appoint an unqualified person? How can you do that? What was your requirements when you doing what? What was your requirements? Thank you, Chairperson.
Mabija.
Also the honor. My foot. Maybe I'll be able to be cogent enough and be understood better by Mr. Sirote. Mr. Sirote, really, I don't understand the manga-manga business that is going in public works for quite a long time, because besides these buildings, there are a lot of buildings or structures, whatever, all over the places that we visit as PCO. And it's so shameful that we have people, the leadership being the DDG, who's failing the nation and the present administration. We are seen to be fumbling because buildings are so dilapidated. Even the borders are porous, and you are the responsible department. Now, coming to this one, I don't even want to go this way, that way, up, down. All I'd like to say is that, Mr. Sirote, you know that in your packet you have a can of worms. Today you need to open that a tin so that we enjoy the worms, or we regret the taste or flavor of that. Why? Because if you are a leader in the public works, obviously you need to have an administrative, healthy consciousness. And the way you are dealing with your core function, it's like your consciousness administratively is dead or is passive. So it means there's something that overtook it, maybe the political consciousness is ruling over the administrative consciousness. So today we are pleading with you. It's obvious there's something that is taking place, and it is there. That is reality according to the history of this confunction of yours. The way your modus operandi is really unacceptable. Therefore, today we are pleading with you, we humbly plead with you to tell us precisely, to answer all the questions asked here, truly thinking of the poor people we need to serve. Please let me stop there, and I should think you are a normal person, no ways you are, but there are contributory factors that makes you to do wrong, because it's obvious there's a lot of wrong going on in the public public works under your watch, and you are the principal there. Thank you.
Well, thank you, members. I've allowed a lot of time. There was a lot of repeats, a lot of speeches, but I've indicated previously we're going to end this session at 10, because 10 o'clock I want to start with the SAPS quarterlies. But let's give an opportunity to Mr. Moroki and his team. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and honorable members. I will just go back to dealing with the part of the turnaround program of the Department of Public Works, and I think it's really about just re-emphasizing the process in terms of where we are. We started the turnaround program around 2012, 2013, and at that particular point in time, what we needed to do was focus on the stabilization of the department. So at the particular point in time, you would have recalled our primary focus was on issues of audit, improvement of governance, ensuring that we are facing the fight against fraud and corruption head on. Now that continues with the establishment of, for instance, the anti-corruption unit that is active in the department. But the phase that we are in now, considering that this is a 7-year turnaround program, is a phase that is now dealing with the efficiency enhancements. And again, we are talking about identifying the areas within the business that require enhancement. Now, let's start with the process of professionalizing, which will also answer the question that's been asked around capacity building. Now, during this process, there are people that have been part of the organization for many years. We needed to identify them, reskill them, and we also re-looked the organizational structures as well. So it is a comprehensive approach to a problem that is correctly as identified by the honorable members as systemic. So it is not an issue of identifying one problem and fixing it, but it's an issue of trying to address the system in its totality. Now, one of the areas that I've highlighted and identified is the one that says, in the conduct of property management, what are the skills that one ought to have? Which is a question, by the way, that the broader sector has been asking themselves in making sure that they are professionalizing themselves. We have then gone in and developed a capacity building program, which does not only deal with property management. We've got a capacity building program, which also is addressing other areas within the organization. For instance, we have requested the Kuha Development Corporation to assist us in establishing an academy that is specifically dealing with areas more on the technical side, which will address...
Sorry, Honorable Malbati.
Thanks, Chairperson. We have time constraints. Can Mr. Sorote go straight to the question?
let me start with the questions that we were asked. I mean, if the question was asked, is there a particular reason why we are not wanting to move out of this building? We don't have a reason, or at least I don't have a reason, and the leadership team that is here does not have a reason that may be considered to be sinister as to why we would hold on to this building. We have made the commitment that the building must be vacated. We have committed to the process of looking at an alternative. The question was then further asked as to why is it that we miraculously have another building. I don't think it's a function of a miracle. I think it's just an issue of saying, let us quickly reflect on the processes that we have followed in the past. We went out on a few processes, and effectively it's the same buildings that have been put up as responses to the bidding processes that the competitive bidding processes that we went out to the market to get. And I'll give you an example: the December 2015 tender, we only received 3 bidders coming back. The process collapsed due to an issue of funding confirmation and the validity lapsed. We then had a process in October 2016. There were 5 bidders. Only one bidder was responsive at that particular point in time, as an example. And in fact, it was the current building that was recommended, and remember how the process works. There are committees that sit, and we don't participate in those committees because procurement is such that we segregate.
Sorry, sir, Honourable Bele.
Thanks, Chair. I'm sorry to interrupt the DDG. I just wanted to be clear on something he said. He said in the second round, October 2016,
yes,
there were 5 bidders, but only one was responsive.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that means. Can you just... So you received five bids?
Yes.
when you say one was responsive, the recommendation that was made by that committee was this building that is currently
there. From the BEC?
From the BEC, that's correct.
Okay.
And I think with any accounting officer that would sign off under these circumstances to an award like that, it would just simply not work. I mean, that is where an accounting officer has an intervention that they can make to say that this is not meeting the user requirements, and that is why that process collapsed. Now, we are now that is the function of the problem that I spoke about, to say that the process of just going out on a competitive open bidding process as if we are buying a commodity is something that we had needed to address and change together with National Treasury. And that is why the new standard of leasing procurement was developed and is going to be implemented as soon as Treasury has finalized that particular process. The question was asked who owns the building. There is a new owner of the building, and the new owner of the building is a fund called Delta Property Fund. The previous owners, it was Michael Trust Family Trust, Michael Trust Family Fund, yeah, correct. So also known as the Georgios. So that is the previous owner that owned that particular building.
When did the ownership change?
2015, I'm told. I think I've dealt with the issue of the capacity building. I think with the changes that we have made to the operating structure, we have obviously gone in and ensured that we are quite specific about the kind of skills that we require in the different roles. So I think going forward, the issue of making sure that we have suitable people appointed in the organization as far as these property management skills, we have put a lot of effort in making sure that we are adequately defining that. When it comes to consequence management of the persons that are currently in the system, we can always report back on disciplinary. I don't have the statistics now, where we have dealt with people that have not necessarily done the right thing. When it comes to issues of disciplinary as a result of potential fraud and corruption, our anti-corruption unit has got those statistics. If the members would like that information, I would make that available. And that cuts across the organization. The question that asks, why is it only now that we are responding to Treasury? Remember, it was not because we were coming here, but there is a clear directive that has been given. There's a clear directive in particular that's been given by this committee to say the matter must be resolved urgently. We set the timelines in motion. In essence, I would have not done my duty if I came and appeared in front of the committee had I not gone to site myself. Although there are persons, there is a head of real estate management that is there who oversees the day-to-day operations in the leasing environment. There is a regional manager who joined us as well, who is on site at the regional office and so forth. But knowing that I'm leading the delegation, I cannot come here not having gone and visited all the buildings that we are referring to here. And I can confirm that the buildings that effectively would be remotely suitable in terms of the requirements that are here, are effectively the ones that have been responding to these bidders over a period of time. I have walked the buildings, and I've satisfied myself in terms of the recommendation that the team has made, which is the recommendation that we have carried through to Treasury. We agreed that by last week Friday we would make the submission to Treasury. Treasury responded with a set of questions yesterday. That is when we responded. I don't think it was a function of us having to come here that we quickly were dealing with an issue yesterday. So in essence, that is the reason why we were still in engagements with Treasury even up until this morning. And we are hoping that we will get a response by tomorrow. the issue of why this building is unsuitable in the first place, in reality, and in our experience, user requirements change over a particular period of time. So back then when this building was procured, I imagine it was suitable. The lease expired at a particular point in time. We also had this issue with respect to the occupational health and safety matters and this need for us to go out to tender. And that is where we acknowledge that we could have done a better job in terms of the reasons why it has taken us 2 years. And we acknowledge that that is part of the fundamental issues we needed to resolve in the organization. Chair, I think I've dealt with...
two issues from my side. The issue of the task team that is between Public Works and the DPCI. I mean, we will get a full briefing on that, but where are we in terms of that process? And all the... I think there's a huge number of leases that expires. And apart from the Belleville building, although there's disagreement whether it's possible to occupy it or not, but I just want to go, what is the progress? Has there been meetings of that task team recently? Can we just get an update on that?
Ask my colleague to...
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. Yes, we had a meeting with the SAPS. I think it was a month ago, or I can't remember when. But the main issue was the SARS building, which our professional team went there. The building is not really very bad according to the professional assessment, but what we did, we went ahead and said, okay, let's find alternative accommodation. Procurement instruction was issued to the region. That process is underway. We'll go through on tender, but our professional guys really didn't say there is a risk to the officials in that building. And there was even an independent professional team outside the department that confirmed that the building is not really at risk. So the other issues when it comes to renewal of leases, that one, there is a program that we've started with National Treasury because we want to renew all the leases in government, not only limited to Hawks. So that process is underway. We are starting with the top 30 landlord because the focus from National Treasury is that we need to save costs. So we've started with top 30 landlords, then we'll move with other leases at a later stage. But we hope that process will be finalized by October or so because we are talking about 2,600 leases.
Maybe also a question to the DGG, I allow for the follow-ups, the relationship with SAPS, because that is quite clearly not working currently, or I mean the feedback that we have the last 2-3 weeks. So maybe in terms of your new approach, new methodology, and I mean SAPS is one of your maybe second largest customer department, what are you going to do to elevate that? Because a lot of the issues also at the regional level or police station level where they can't replace a door because it's not a devolved station. There's a lot of those issues, hundreds of them. So apart from that, are we looking at the new methodology ensuring that the issues of SAPS are dealt with, or will we have to ask every 3 or 2 months for DPW to come here because it can't be handled by SAPS efficiently? I just want to get a sense of that. Members, very shortly, Honourable Ramatlakane, Honourable Mbele, and Honourable Mabija. Thank you. Honourable Mark, thank you.
Chair, I will respect your view on the time. What I'm not getting very clear from the DDG is the compliance with the client's department's specification. I didn't hear a response, what you said, because I made an example that building that is subject for discussion did not meet the specification from the start. But you went ahead irrespective that you were guided by the user department specification. You went ahead to grant that lease. Not only once, and then the lease came to an end. We intervened with the report, and then the next tender went out. The result was the same. You again, irrespective that the first time you didn't comply, the second time we have a report from the committee, but the second time you award the same building, the tender. I mean, that I don't understand. Why is it so? Is it maybe lack of information flow from the regional office to the head office in terms of that? Why is it so? That answer, that question hasn't been answered, because that's a tip of an iceberg. That's a indicative of the problem. And it's not only, we are making an example of one building. And the police were here last week, they said, we give Public Works our specifications. We say, this is the building we want, this is how it should be. In most cases, when the award is given, there is not even engagement with them. To say, guys, look, we are not finding the office that you want. They are just given. This is the one that you must take. Take it or leave it. The question I was asking, why is it so? What informs that? Is it by virtue of being custodian of a property that you think you must act in that way? Because clearly the thing's not working. The remedy of it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Bailey.
Thanks, Chair. Just very quickly, I also don't have a response yet to my question about whether the contextual need within Public Works is for a decentralized approach in order to contextualize procurement. So to springboard from your example, Chair, you know, if a door needs to be replaced, surely a station commander or an SCM official at station level should have a liaison point within Public Works to call and get a 2 or 3 day turnaround time and not have it clogged up in this massive machine and hence the delay. So just a response, please, decentralization in order to speed up procurement.
Honourable Muller, you covered. Honourable Markey, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, when I grew up, I was so very afraid of police. But it's very clear that Public Works is not afraid of police. They should have been afraid of them. Or they must be arrested, maybe. Just one point. Is there a possibility from Public Works side that they recommend to Treasury, that is from your side, that you decentralize or you just download some of these functions to the police, especially those that deal with operational risks, which maybe you might not have an idea of, so that you avoid having to come up with some deviations that you don't even understand. I just want to understand. And maybe you sit on it and say, no, we can't do this. We don't have the skills. We don't have whatever motivation you give, that this belongs to those people who are operational on this. Otherwise, we will be causing chaos. These people need to come out running when there is a call somewhere, and they can run in a building like this. I mean, to give an example. So maybe you need to go that route. I'm not sure whether it's possible, but you can definitely make a submission. And I think the right term would be download. So you get rid of those things that you will put you in a situation like you are in today. Thank you very much.
Honourable Mobijo, you're the last, then we'll go to responses. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to say a lot of things. I'm just coming up with an input on this issue. I should think we need to initiate, be it a commission of inquiry on investigation on the modus operandi of these public works, because it is obvious, and we are not administrators. We do not know all the slyness and manga business and whatever. We just take things as they come into our ears. But it is obvious there's something deeper than what we see as a politician who are not administrators. Therefore, I'm pleading with the portfolio committee to initiate procedurally an investigation or commission of inquiry on the modus operandi of public works according to their core function. Thank you.
Now, maybe just on that last issue, there will have to be a discussion with the portfolio committee in public works. It's not our core business to do that. Let's get the responses. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, and there is currently an SIU has got a proclamation. They've been with us and they've looked at the majority of the leases and the processes, and they've made recommendations, and they have in certain instances instituted recovery procedures where we have been misled in terms of the size of the facilities, as an example. The relationship with the colleagues at SEPS is a robust one, considering the number of challenges that we are dealing with. And I think even when we meet, it is not a relationship that I would say is the opposite of constructive. I think it's constructive. The colleagues give us very good inputs. And where they feel they need to be very firm with us, they are firm on the issues. And the issues even that we are discussing today, I think the colleagues were rightfully very firm with myself as well. But the relationship is constructive. We have agreed on how we need to implement certain things going forward. And we were together in Bloemfontein last week again when we went to the site visit, and I was with the senior officials as well from SAPS. The other issue perhaps that is linked to a question asked earlier is when it comes to certain of the minor works in state-owned facilities. We currently have an ability to the delegated ability for the colleagues at SAPS to do repairs up to 100,000. In instances where they've identified a minor repair or a repair that they need to do urgently, through a communication and a request to the accounting officer, we on instances allow the colleagues, or we agree with the colleagues, that they can effect a particular amendment or an upgrade at a facility. We try and handle it at a senior level so that the issues of processes are not violated, and we are able to then together sign off on those jobs that are more than 100,000 that they themselves implement. So we do have that ability for them not to be frustrated at the facility. The major agreement that we have is for two reasons that we need to start looking at owned accommodation and phasing out the reliance on leased accommodation. The first one is the issue of specialized requirements of a nature of an SAPS. We have agreed that we need to start looking at a program to start moving to acquiring or building specific facilities where there is that need. And I think secondly is the issue of costs in the long run, managing the costs and being able to be quite specific on that. We have had that specific discussion. We have implemented the head office program. We are now looking at police stations that we can start looking at either acquiring or constructing as and when we have the funds available. I think the question of whether it's a decentralized approach to or a centralized approach, the process that I spoke to earlier is the need for us to change the procurement and the manner in which we procure together with Treasury when it comes to leases, so that it specifically responds to how the market operates. This is not a commodity. This is an infrastructure asset. This ought to be a long-term commitment. We need to factor into account many, many areas. Now, the second issue that we have had is that we have a lot of leases. At 2,500, there are quite a few leases. You know, so the process is long. It requires a lot of steps in the process. Now, we are not decentralizing or centralizing. We are just refining the process. Now, if you look at where we are currently, the organization spends a lot of its time, let's just say in the leasing environment, in the procurement space, whereas the property managers ought to be responding to whether the facilities are meeting the requirements of the users. And it's a major shift in terms of the focus that we want to have. Procurement ought to happen as a process, and then it must move into contract management. That's what must happen. Now, that is what we are refining, and those are the fundamental reforms that we wanted in the approach. Now, whether you are talking about facilities management, which is a slightly different discipline to lease management. We have got a specific approach that is grounded at the level of the facilities, ensuring that we are bringing the capability to the level of the region so that we are able to respond to state-owned accommodation at the level of the region. And previously I may have spoken about it. It's for the first time we have a strategy, for instance, linked to that. That is a maintenance strategy for the entire portfolio of DPW, which we know up to about 6-7% of that portfolio is in a poor state. Now, linked to that, we have focused on making sure that we improve the functionality of those facilities, and we have started with the lifts. We have implemented in Pretoria. We have implemented in Pretoria region, which is effectively Gauteng for us.
5 minutes.
Yeah. We are implementing in the PE regional office, and we are currently implementing in Durban regional office. So those are the kind of things that we are saying for the different disciplines, perhaps are different. Our entire business process review is expected to be completed by the end of September. That is what will then bring the entire process together for us. Chair, that responds to the questions that were.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just to add on the issue of addressing day-to-day works, what we can acknowledge as a department is that, yes, we do address the client's request. And however, there's a guideline that has been reviewed in terms of the day-to-day maintenance. There's a guideline that has been given to internal branches to look at it and forward input in terms of minor things that will be done by the client. And yes, we've given approval to various projects like the Tabazimbi training camp, whereby SAP has requested mobile units. We've given approval to that they go ahead and install those. And however, we need to take cognizance of the fact that some works need professional opinion. We cannot just give approval to everything because SAPS does not have the core function in terms of professionalism, in terms of looking into the infrastructure of whatever is requested, whether it needs town planning in order to clear the site. So in those regards, SAPS needs to forward all the requests to us so that we can assess what magnitude of a request is needed. And if it needs public works input, then that's where we come in. But however, we do receive a request from SAPS whereby they need to replace a door or sometimes replace your mobile unit. So we, what I can say is that we're working on the review of the guideline for day-to-day maintenance. And the due date that has been given by the PPM, which is the unit that is responsible for state-owned facilities, is that they will complete the guideline by the 15th of June.
Right, thank you very much to Public Works for the input. We take note of the progress report. Of course, we will need a written report as soon as SAPS is now in the new building. That's going to be critical. But the second phase as well is that we will have a joint meeting with Public Works Portfolio Committee in the third term to look at the more collective progress that's been made with regard to SAPS, the building environment, but also the lease environment. So thank you very much. We're going to move now to the next, you can excuse yourselves, we're going to move to the next section, quarterly report SAPS. I'm going to ask the acting content advisor, researcher, Nicolette van Sail, just to take us through SAPS as well as the secretariat. Thank you. You can go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm just quickly going to go through the, both the SAPS and secretariat's quarterly expenditure for the third and fourth quarter. At the end of the 2016-17 financial year, the SAP spent 99.9% of its 81 billion rand budget, recording an under expenditure of 15,000 rand in total. Honourable members, during the 2017-18 budget hearings we had recently, Mr. Eldred de Klerk noted that 100% expenditure on such a big budget is not easily attained by police agencies worldwide and is quite an anomaly. Also, we had a presentation from the National Treasury who also raised concerns about the lack of a direct link between the budget and the performance of the SAPS. The Public Service Commission briefed the Select Committee on Appropriations recently as part of comments on the 2017 Appropriations Bill, in which the Commission raised serious concern about the performance of the Visible Policing and Detective Services programs, who respectively attained 60.9% and 60.7% on the performance targets against the 100% expenditure at the end of the previous, the 15-16 financial year. Honourable members, it's very important that there should be a tangible link between appropriated funds given to departments and boats and service delivery to communities. The lack of a correlation between between the level of vacancies and spending spending on compensation of employees has been raised serious concern by National Treasury. The fact that about 4,000 vacancies at the end of the 16-17 financial year, yet they spent 100% of the available budget for compensation of employees. Honourable members should also note that the spending on payments for capital assets was behind spending at the end of the third quarter in December 2016. Apologies for the typing error. It should be December 2016. Honourable members, during the first 9 months of the year, the SAP spent 28.9 or 819.6 million rand of the entire 2.1 billion rand budget for payments to capital assets at the end of December last year. This was mostly on vehicle assets due to the delay in the finalization of the RT 57 contract that the SAPS effectively warned the committee about this delay. However, the committee should just have more clarity on this issue and what caused the delay, and what steps will be taken to prevent this delay in future. Also, the adjustments to the visible policing program should be explained that was made during the adjustments period in the previous financial year. And also, the fact that the SAP is spending 91.7% of the entire crime intelligence program on personnel. This should also be questioned, as that leaves very little funds for operational purposes. Although the crime intelligence is personnel heavy, it's still a bit higher than the target set by SAPS for personnel versus operations. Honourable members, quickly moving to the civilian secretariat for police. There are significant concerns within the screening frame of the secretariat. At the end of quarter screen, the secretariat was quite on track for spending and recorded no deviation from the projected expenditure of 74.5%. However, at the end of quarter three, the 16-17 financial year, the secretariat recorded an expenditure of 94.7% of its available budget. And that's the underspending of 5.3% against projections. The 5.8%